Hello and welcome to Jaw Law, the love child between dentistry and law. I'm your host, Joe McGregor, coming at you from Dallas, Texas. And before we get too far, I want to remind you, if you have topics that you think would be fun for us to talk about, then send us an email at joe@jawlawpodcast.com. Today we have a thrilling topic. Now, I will warn you, it is highly technical. It's probably not really very thrilling, except maybe to super nerdy lawyers, which maybe we qualify as. But it's highly technical. Now, we're going to mainly talk about it in terms of asset purchase agreements. So when you're buying a practice or when you're selling a practice, because it applies equally to both parties. But it's also a concept that comes up in employment agreements and in other contracts that you get into. And that is the concept of representations and warranties. The problem with talking about this is, again, it's highly technical. It's something that most lawyers get educated on in law school, but it's one of those things you forget the day after you take the exam, and most lawyers don't revisit it because it's not very fun. And it can be highly technical, even for lawyers. And we're not going to cover it in deep technical detail. But the reason we cover it is because, on the one hand, this is probably what most people think of when they think of a contract having a bunch of legal mumbo jumbo. This is the mumbo jumbo. On the other hand, when something happens, something significant post-closing, so you've already bought the practice or you've already sold the practice, and something significant comes up with the transaction, like whether or not you should have gotten into it, a lot of times your answer is embodied in this concept of representations and warranties. So just kind of starting at square one, for those who don't know, most of the dental transactions out there are asset transfers. Somebody is buying the assets of the practice. So this is opposed to a practice has a company that owns the assets and has gotten into contracts with everything, signed the lease, hired employers, hired employees. And what would be considered the traditional way to buy that practice would be for you to just buy the shares of that company. And this is how you buy stock online and or in the stock market. You're buying the shares. And for various reasons that we'll get to in probably a different podcast, that's not how we typically do it. It's usually not how lawyers, particularly buying lawyers, would like to do this. Instead, you're buying the assets. And a real easy way to think about this, although not perfectly accurate, but it's as if the seller was shutting down their company and retiring, and you're just moving away, and they happen to have a bunch of assets there, and they happen to know a bunch of people who need a job, and they happen to know a lease space that's already plumbed, and they happen to have patients that now need someone to go to. And you're coming along as a buyer and you're saying, hey, I'll buy those dental chairs or I'll buy those hand pieces. So you're going to buy these assets, and to convey those assets, they're going to give you a contract called an asset purchase agreement. And this is what I'd call standard. Almost every practice purchase is an asset purchase agreement. Now, one feature of these asset purchase agreements is you'll see they always say as is, where is. You're buying these assets basically as they sit. So if you buy them and a day later the dental chair explodes, then theoretically that's just too bad. That was your really, really bad luck. And I hope you have good insurance. So what's going on there is, in most states, and actually every state, I didn't do a 50-state survey right before the podcast, but I'm not aware of any state that doesn't have what we called implied warranties. And this is where we start to get a little technical. But basically what that means is, if I go in and I buy your car, then there's an expectation that I'm going to be able to drive that car back to my house. It needs to run, or else I wouldn't buy it. And maybe I am buying it for scrap, but that needs to be known to me. Hey, this car doesn't work, and your only value in this car is the parts that you can pull off of it. And that's okay. That's how commerce works. It just needs to be known to us. So the law imposes certain warranties on goods that you sell, so on certain assets. And what happens is if you don't do anything to disclaim them, those warranties exist. So you're buying these assets with the expectation that they work, the expectation that you're going to be able to do dentistry with these dental assets. You're also buying it with the expectation that the seller actually owns these assets, that someone else doesn't have a claim. And what's important to understand is that these implied warranties, they exist whether you have a contract or not. So what sellers will most commonly do is they're going to say, hey, we're not going to have these implied warranties. We don't want to be beholden to any promises that the law may or may not impose. And instead, what we're going to do is we're going to outline exactly the promises that we're going to make. So that's why you'll see in one section, usually towards the beginning of an asset purchase agreement, it'll say as is, whereas. Hey, you're buying the goods as is, whereas. And sometimes documents stop there. They're just going to say, hey, whatever it is, if it does explode tomorrow, that's tough luck. And that's possible, although most of the agreements that I see probably don't effectively disclaim those warranties. By the way, that's an issue that we see a lot. And some of these are from some of the big companies who do transitions where, like in Texas, we're more familiar with some of these rules that apply. But a lot of the documents we see probably don't fully disclaim these warranties. But that's probably neither here nor there. Point is there's at least an attempt to disclaim these warranties. And then we get to a section called representations and warranties. These are the promises that a seller is making to you. And what's so important is that you need to know, as a buyer in particular, that if they're not making these promises, then you cannot assume anything outside of that. So, in other words, if they've properly disclaimed the warranties in their as-is, where-is language, and they have not made a certain promise in the representations and warranty section, then you otherwise have no recourse. So, like I said, representations and warranties, that's where people just kind of roll their eyes up into the back of their head and fall asleep when they've been given this contract. And I admit, it's not that fun. But it's important you understand what these things are. A representation, it's an assertion of fact. And if it turns out to not be true, then they are guilty, so to speak, of the legal cause of action of misrepresentation. And representation's typically a promise made to induce someone into getting into this transaction. So, for instance, if you're making a representation that I have paid all my taxes and you as the buyer wouldn't buy these assets if there were tax liens on them, well, then I have made the promise, yes, tax liens, they're gone or they were never there. I've always paid my taxes. And if that turns out to not be true, then I've misrepresented the situation and you've got a case against me. A warranty is almost the same thing, and I think a lot of times people use them pretty interchangeably. But a warranty is this concept of, and not to dig too deep on this, but this concept that you're also trying to induce somebody into making this transaction, but you're basically indemnifying that person. And indemnification just means that you're going to take care of it. You're going to protect the person when they rely on this promise that you've made them. And like I said, it's almost the same thing. It's kind of like if I say, hey, I promise I own these assets. There's not a silent partner out there that has a claim or whatever. And if it turns out that that's not true, or maybe that became untrue, then I have the obligation to fix it, to make it true. And if I don't make it true, then I've actually breached the contract. Slightly different claims that you can make when either one of those are broken. And that's where it gets technical, and that's something that's way beyond the scope of this podcast. But it's important to understand that they are different and that you rely on them differently, and the recourse is a little bit different. But the point is that you just want to know what they are. You want to know what promises are made, and you want to walk with your lawyer through these promises. So if you're a seller, you definitely need to know what it is you're promising, what it is you're representing. So if you've got a blemish on your record, you had a board complaint, and you're representing that you, in fact, have never had a board complaint, well, you automatically have a problem. Same thing with the buyer. If you're worried about something specifically, then you need to make sure that the seller promises to make a representation or warranty based on your concern. So here today, if there's one message I'm trying to convey, it's simply that you know what these are and that you understand that after you ink this deal and it's over, this is the embodiment of the promises that have been made. It's you can't later say, hey, you shouldn't have given me crappy equipment. That's actually too late. If they didn't make a promise that they were giving you equipment that would work, then they haven't made that. Yeah, you're right. They probably should have, but they didn't make that promise. So you just need to make sure that you understand the promises that you have made. I'm not even really saying which promises should be made and which should not, just that they should be done on purpose and with thoughtfulness. And hopefully that will also help inform your due diligence process as well. And that's really all the show we got today. And thanks for tuning in. And as a reminder, if you have any questions, always feel free to give us an email, joe@jawlawpodcast.com. And we'll see you next time. Don't trust the good looks of my counsel, take heed. But be sure to insist on a warranty. Sure to insist on a warranty. Sure to insist on a warranty deed.